1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." The resurrection of Christ so many, many years ago was a shocking event. They sang some of those songs that related the thoughts, perhaps, of those that found their way still in the darkness to a graveyard. I don't suppose anybody likes going to a graveyard anytime, much less in the dark. And as they arrived, to their shock, I think, they found the grave was opened. And they found on further examination that the grave was empty. They experienced resurrection firsthand. For you and I, it is a promise. It is a promise, it is a heartfelt reality, but it is still seen and glimpsed by faith. None of us have risen from the dead. We have buried relatives and friends who have not risen from the dead. But there is a promise and a hope in the resurrection of Christ that takes me beyond where I am today and allows me to see clearly that someday death has to let go and life can come again. The writer of Corinthians said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I am thankful that Christianity is not some doctrinal means by which we can live better lives. It is that, but that's not its defining tenet. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things do become new. I'm thankful that trusting Christ is a change of life. But that's not all that it is. A changed life in a miserable world is still in a miserable world. A changed life in a world filled with sin is still life in a world with sin. And so the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope. But then he pulls back the curtains a little further to remind us we have hope beyond this life. That is something new for the masses of humanity. That it's not all about here and now. That it's not all about what is accomplished in this span of time called my life. But there is more beyond. So much more that we can number this life that we live I just exceeded another number yesterday. We can add those numbers up. We can keep track of those numbers. But may I remind you that what is beyond this life in Christ is innumerable span of time. No point in keeping track of days or weeks or months or years or decades or centuries or even eons of time. Because we have a clear title to what Jesus called everlasting life. Paul said that if in this life only we have hope, it really doesn't matter what we've taught and said about Jesus Christ. If it's only about this world, if Jesus, as some have foolishly stated, came to make the world a better place, he did a pretty lousy job. In fairness, we live in a scary world. In fairness, we live in a violent world. In fairness, we live in a world that is poverty-stricken, disease-ridden. There are more people that have no hope in this world than there are, I believe, sometimes that have hope. There are more people that cry themselves to sleep every night on a pillow than we might imagine. If we are to remove the resurrection from the context, this Bible is invalid and in vain. Christianity and every tenet that it professes to be right and good are worthless. Any hope for the future that somehow we might be made better people is a waste of time. It all hinges on the reality of the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. You understand, the world becomes a better place as people turn to Christ. Sin is diminished as people turn to Christ. All of the things that we profess define a better world are only accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we live in a culture that has decided to sidestep Christ and say, you can be your best self yet. Or you can do a better job. Or here's what you need to do. And they've given us all the tenets without any measure of success at all. Paul said it all hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If in this life only we have hope. You know, you may have a wonderful life. You may accomplish whatever is on your bucket list. But I found something out about bucket lists, if you have one. How many of you have ever added something to your bucket list? Which testifies that your original bucket list wasn't a complete bucket list. And so had you accomplished everything on that bucket list and then died, you still wouldn't have completed your bucket list. You'd have died miserably. If it's all about a bucket list, then we're of all men most miserable. If it's all about youth, we're of all men most miserable. If it's all about good health, we're of all men most miserable. If it's all about peace, then we're all of all men most miserable, because none of those things are achievable in lasting measure. They're transient, they're fleeting. They come, they go, sometimes they never arrive. But he indicates that there is hope because of the resurrection. And I submit to you this morning that looking for the value of life and existence is not found on this piece of dirt. It's found in Jesus Christ, who has the power beyond this planet, beyond this universe, beyond this existence, who is greater than time, greater than energy, who is omnipotent with all power, who is the one that speaks and it becomes so, who creates at his whim. He is the one. But what does that do for me? Because there's a great gulf between he and I. I exist on my best day as a vile sinner. You say, well, you know, I'm not that bad. You just need to get your glasses cleaned. Because sometimes we like to think I'm not that bad because I haven't been caught. or what I, because I haven't put into action what is really bubbling over in my heart. Because I was able to restrain from my mouth from what I wanted to say. May I submit to you, you are all of those things that may never have escaped, but they are inside. We are wretched examples of a fallen race that snubbed their noses at a creator who put them on a planet and said, I'll let you live forever in wonder and amazement. And they said, no, I'm not interested. In that moment when Adam and Eve turned their back on God, they necessitated a sacrifice. And that sacrifice had to be perfect, or else you and I would not have escaped. And so that sacrifice became God's Son, as Ron said just a moment ago. Why did it have to be Him? Because He's the only perfect Son there is. And God allowed Him to die mercilessly so that you and I can have God's mercy extended to us. But I'm glad to tell you that even as a Christian, it's not all about here. We get wrapped up sometimes. And we think, boy, I've got to get busy. I've got to get this done. I've got my bucket list as a Christian. As though somehow just a few more days and it's over. But I submit to you that in light of the resurrection, there is hope beyond hope in this life. And I give you a few moments, or a few thoughts this moment about some of the comforts that there are in the resurrection. Write them down quickly. I won't be long. Number one, there's a liberty in life. There's a liberty in life. Some people in life are driven. They are motivated by purpose. They have got to do this. They have got to achieve this or excel at this. They've got to be the best or the champion or the biggest or the fastest or whatever it is. There are numerous awards passed out every week so somebody can say, I'm the best. So many people are the best in this world, it's hard to believe there's any failures left. And in case there are, we're now passing out participation trophies. So even if you didn't make it, you're still one of the best losers we've ever had around here. Everybody wants to feel like they've accomplished something. There's that drive of ambition within us that says, I have to make this existence here worthwhile. Why? Because it's running out. And when I'm gone, I'd like to leave something behind. You can take a stroll through the graveyard anytime you'd like and you'd find people that have had someone carve and etch in stone something that will, they hope, make their life not in vain. A loving father. A wonderful mother. A glorious wife. I've seen those things carved into stone. Served their country. How many times have we seen those little epithets that are there? Someone from the grave crying out, my life wasn't in vain. It counted for something. And you and I might agree. But let's be honest. Doesn't count for anything now. They're dead. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, what's the point? How am I any better than the man who gives in to all of his impulses and demonic drives and does something horrendous and his name is etched forever in history as someone infamous, whereas someone else's name is etched in history as someone great. What does it matter 1,000 years hence? If in Christ we have hope only, have hope in this world, what value is it? Well, let me give you a couple things. Number one, there's a liberty in this life. Can I be honest with you? Because I am going to live forever. You say, well, you say that rather matter-of-factly. It is. I have that promise of God here that my sins have been washed away and eradicated and erased forever. Even the sins I haven't committed yet have been erased forever. I will never come into condemnation, he said. If Satan were to convene a tribunal and call a special conclave together to determine that I had lied and I was, there would be one step forward and take the rap, and it would be Jesus Christ who gave himself for me and for all of my sinfulness. I don't profess to be perfect, far, far from it. I'm closer to being a perfect sinner than I am perfect anything else. But I have a perfect Savior. And because of that, I don't have to pack all of my living into this span of time. I've enjoyed living. I'd look forward to living a whole lot longer. I'd like to be the oldest guy alive when I die. You may join me with that. You say, well, what would you do? It doesn't matter. You'd live. You'd be breathing air. You'd be able to look around and say, I won. Perhaps with your last breath. I don't know. But I'm thankful, so thankful that beyond this life, whenever it ends, whenever the door closes, nothing changes for the Christian. Because there is eternal life beyond. You say, do you think you're worthy? No. That's what I'm trying to convince you of this morning. It's not because you're worthy. And it's not because I'm unworthy. It's because Jesus Christ paid the price for my entrance into that grand and glorious amusement park called eternity. You're not going to get there by saving your pennies. You're not going to get there by doing good deeds. You're not going to get there unless you allow Him to pay your way and allow you access. There's liberty in life. I don't have to do it all here. There are a lot of things I'd like to do. A lot of things I'd like to have done as a younger person. A lot of things now I really don't want to do. I have no desire to bungee jump anymore. I'm just not into that anymore. There was a day when that intrigued me. There have been a lot of things in life, and I'm sure there have been in your life, things that you wanted to do, you wanted to accomplish, you wanted to participate in, but now, in honesty, been there, done that. Let's move on. But there are still things out there that, yeah, I'd like to try that, I'd like to do that, I'd like to go here, I'd like to be part of that, and at some point, it's going to all run out. And every one of us is going to leave behind some unfinished tasks, some unrealized dreams, some unachieved goals. When death comes, it cheats us that way. We don't get any advance warning. And if in this life we only have hope in Christ, what a miserable way to go. But I submit to you, it's not only in this life we have hope in Christ. It is beyond that. And because of that, there's a liberty in life. If I don't get it done here, I'll do it there. I am going to bungee jump one day from one end of the universe to the other. Long, stretchy rubber thing they got there in heaven. I don't know what it is. I'm going to let out one of those, yahoo, you'll be able to hear into the next eon. You say, do you really believe that? Are you joking? I'm telling you, there's nothing that limits life when you don't have to worry about death. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is liberty in this life to enjoy it, realizing I'm not going to run out of time ever. I got plenty of time. I got plenty of time. What a great comfort that is. But may I say this, we have hope in our trials as well. Not all of life is Easter bunnies and Easter baskets. Sometimes there are tragedies and difficulties and sorrows. I heard someone say this week, if you added it all up, there's far more sorrow in this world than there is joy. There's far more suffering than there is wealth. Far more. We're fighting a losing battle when we try to fight against the evils of this world. They seem to win at every turn. And you have had your hopes dashed, I'm sure, on numerous occasions. You've had those moments where you thought or you said, I'm going to, and all at once you realize that was the worst decision I made today. But I'll make another one tomorrow. The truth of the matter is, some of us have planned for a life and thought of an existence, and some have pursued goals only to find themselves in the throes of an incurable disease before they ever able to reach just right there, ready. And they were captivated by a dreadful disease. Stole any hope of that bright future that we all tend to look forward to. Pulled all that joy away that seemed to be right within our grasp. Our hospitals filled today with people who dream no more of what they once dreamed of. There are people today in places of treatment and facilitation that had dreams similar to yours and to mine, who said, one of these days, and I'm getting ready, and I'm real soon now, we're going to, and just around the, and their thoughts were the same, and today they fight for breath. You say, that's pretty morbid. I'm telling you what's morbid. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, it's not fair. It's not fair that someone who played by the rules and someone who had great thoughts and great ideas, someone who had something to contribute, whose life would have been a blessing, has been cut off and gone. And someone whose life is just a waste continually sucks up whatever good there is in this world. It just isn't fair. But it's life. But it's life. There are people alive today, the world would have been better off 20 years ago if they died. I'm not calling names. And all of us know people who died years ago. We'd be much better off if they were still with us. I submit to you, if this life is all there is, what's the point? If this life is all there is, where is the fairness? If this life is all we're going to experience, then even if your life is filled with joy, how can you enjoy the joy when you know that everybody else is suffering or those around you are in misery? The Apostle Paul had it right. If this life is all there is, what a train wreck. What a train wreck. But there's a joy in knowing that beyond this life, life goes on for the believer. There's a liberty that says, I'm going to get done when I get done here. I'm going to enjoy what I'm doing here because time never runs out. There's that joy in my life that says, even in the midst of trials and tribulations and difficulties and bad health and bad circumstances and perhaps poverty, or whatever it might be, there is still a bright sun shining in the future. This will not always last, no matter where we are. Job said at the end of his wonderful existence, with everything gone, his health taken away, his family all dead, his possessions gone. And he said this, he knows the way that I take, and when I am tried, listen to it, I shall come forth as gold. How do you know that, Job? What if you die? Oh, it doesn't matter. There's something beyond this life. There is a life that goes on past this one. My hope is not only in things of this earth. My hope in Christ is not only for the moments I'm breathing this oxygen. I have a hope that moves on forever through all eternity in Christ Jesus. What a comfort that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. What does that mean? What can death do when Jesus is there? What can death do? What power does it have? If it says, I'm going to take your life, he simply says, no, you won't. He is the one that has power. He has the keys of death. Death has no power. And in Jesus Christ, there's a hope beyond this life because of the resurrection. That gives me the ability, even in my darkest moments, even in my trials, to rejoice. May I say this, thirdly, if in this life only we have hope, how's there any comfort and joy in our goodbyes? I look around and it seems like it's becoming more of an epidemic as we get older. More and more of us saying goodbye to someone we love. I find there are several dark hallways in the ministry. By that I simply mean there's not a lot of light, and yet there are hallways we have to pass through. Sometimes as a preacher, as a pastor, you have to stretch out a hand and an arm to try and be a help when you don't know how to be a help. You try to say those words that can bring comfort and peace, but you don't possess those words. Sometimes you struggle even as a preacher. I'm sure as a friend or as a family member, you've been there. nothing to say. How do you say goodbye? How do you say goodbye? I've stood by a number of grave sites in my time. Put my arms around those that have lost loved ones. And for someone who makes his living by talking, I had nothing to say. And in some cases, I was just glad I wasn't there in the sense that they are. Goodbyes are pretty tough. I've been at some of those graves where the casket was carried by one person. Just held the body of an infant. I've been at some graves where caskets were carried by pallbearers and they led a procession of hundreds of people. I've been at funerals where people had to be turned away from the church because they couldn't get in. But I've never been at a funeral where you had words that were adequate to help someone get through that saying goodbye. I'm a Christian. We're preaching this morning about eternal life, life that goes on beyond this. I know that when we say goodbye in this life, it is only temporary. I understand that. I realize that beyond this life, there is that joy that we're talking about. But in that moment, it's still tough. David called it the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes it's scary when a shadow flashes across somewhere and we don't know what it is. We're immediately stirred to be fearful. I think sometimes that's the way death comes. It obliterates that sunshine that seems to be so much a part of our life. And for an instant we're terrorized and because we don't understand and we can't identify what it is. And the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. What does that mean? Because he is with me, because he is my Savior, because my hope is not built on this world. I can enjoy this life without any regrets because I've got another one and another one and another one and another one to go on beyond this life. Life without end. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. I'm thankful he saves us, but if all we had is the time from born to die, that little blind on a tombstone separated by a hyphen, if that's all we've got. But I'm here this morning to tell you that there's joy even in goodbyes because that little line and that date out there doesn't mean anything. I heard a fellow say one time, when I die, I want him to put on my tombstone, born, and put the date and the little dash and where it says died, put in he didn't. Amen. You imagine some poor drunk stumbling through the graveyard some night about half inebriated and stumbling upon a grave where he didn't die. But we're not really going to. We're going to be transported from this life to God's eternity. The sun of this world may set for us here, but there's a sun that'll rise there that'll never set again. Because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead, I have hope beyond this life. You think about how many things that people have done in this life of noble quality simply because they were trying to make the future better, a future they never got to enjoy, a future they never saw. Diseases have had cures discovered that were too late to help someone they really were trying to help. Liberation had come for people that were oppressed, but not for all of them. It seems like from time to time we deal with a world and in a world where it seems like the ones that needed most to have happened, the thing that happened, were the ones that missed. How do you say goodbye? Well, I don't know that there's an adequate way to say it, but I do know this. If you keep your eyes beyond the headstone and beyond the grave and realize this person we're dealing with is up there watching us, smiling, going on with life, planning a big reunion that's coming real soon. Nothing has changed. Their smile is not gone. They are not in misery. They are not. You say, well, I miss them. They don't miss you. You say, well, I think they do. That's because you're filled with pride. Listen, they've gone to God's Disney World. They're having the time of their life, and maybe every once in a while, from the highest, tallest Ferris wheel or whatever it is there, they glimpse across and say, wish you were here, but let's go. Sometimes I think we think, well, everybody waits with tears. Heaven will not be heaven till they're here. Listen, heaven is heaven whether you're there or not. Heaven is joy and happiness and thrills and excitement. Somebody said, do you think they look at us? I don't even think they realize we're here. I think they're too busy trying to memorize the street map. I think they're too busy trying to figure out how many doors are in my mansions. I think they're too busy trying to taste all of that heavenly cuisine and enjoy all the wonder that is there. I think they're too wrapped up in the glory of God to care about you and I and our problems. You say, boy, that's tough, preacher. I know it is, but I'm going to tell you what, because there's a resurrection. Because there's a resurrection, I can get through those goodbyes. Because of a resurrection, there's a wonder in old age. I could say that now. I have earned my button. I got my little emblem on my jersey there. And I'm glad it's not just about this life. I'm glad I live in a world, I'll be honest with you kids, I don't have much to contribute anymore. So, yeah, I need some advice. I'm not smart with your generation. You have to do it on your own. But I'm thankful that it's not over. I'm thankful there are still days ahead of intrigue for me that are as wonderful as for a three-year-old for the first time touching the little bubble that disappears in an instant. I'm thankful that that excitement is not passed away. And one day in God's glory, I'll bask in a place called heaven and drool like a child. Because I've never seen anything like that at all. And knowing that brings grace and peace into this life where I live. Knowing that there's not much time beyond this. Not quality time anyway. I'm glad that if in this life it's not the only place we have hope. That in old age I can still contribute and do my best. You may have to wait on me and I may move a little slow. And don't get in front of me when I'm driving. There are just certain rules that have to be put in place because I need to be accommodated as an old guy. But nothing's diminished heaven and its wonder for me. I'm going to heaven like a teenager. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven and enjoy all that God has got. You know, we get wrapped up in this world. Well, you live from here to here and then you die. And then it's the big man upstairs. What a morbid thought. I'm going to tell you what, you live because you're born here and then the big man comes in and it doesn't end. It goes on forever. And if death should sneak up in the night and get you, doesn't matter. Because we don't just have hope in this life. We have hope beyond this life. And it's the same one who brought hope into this life, Jesus Christ, that gives us hope beyond this life. The apostle Paul had never personally met Jesus, not person to person. Jesus had been crucified and had risen and had ascended back to heaven before Paul had ever come to Christ. But he had met with him, I believe, on several occasions as the Lord appeared. And I'm not going to deal with those at this moment, but I think that it would suffice us to say that the apostle Paul, as he grew old, some of these apostles did not die in martyrdom, young in age. It is said that John, who gave us the book of Revelation, was over 90 years of age when he penned the words that God gave that became our book of Revelation. What a long time it had been since he had walked with Jesus. What a long time it had been since he'd seen the feeding of the 5,000. I suppose in those days he could have run with the best of them. He probably enjoyed all the times they spent together, perhaps hiking in the mountains or maybe fishing in the sea. I believe that he was young enough not only to enjoy the ministry and the words of Christ, but just to enjoy being alive. I think that now he sits as an old fellow, perhaps barely able to move. writes what God tells him to write. And the Lord said, write this. And he writes, and I saw. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former were passed away. He said, I saw a throng of people standing around the throne. I saw it, and I saw myself there, because I'm soon to go. My place is reserved. Aren't you glad that because he lives, we've been passed over? Our sin debt has been passed over. Our wickedness has been passed over. Our vileness has been passed over, because Jesus Christ paid the price. You know, there's a big universe out there. I feel sorry for people that are spending their entire life to get pictures of things they'll never see. Some of these scientists, I read one wrote not long ago that we now have a glimpse of a star or whatever it was, that if we were to leave here today and travel as fast as man could go, it would take, I think, 100,000 years to get there. I'm thinking, well, you better pack your bags, pal. You got a long... You realize there are people today paying the price, endeavoring, striving, working, laboring to accomplish things that they will never see the fruit of in their life. But if you pass out a gospel tract today, you'll live forever to see the fruit of what you've done for God. All those planets out there. You say, well, do you believe there's life on other planets? I think there's going to be. God never makes anything without purpose. He made this planet to be inhabited. There was no death. They were going to live forever. You do the math. Overcrowding. I think he's got all kind of planets out there. And he's waiting for a universe filled with people that love him. One of these days, I think of myself maybe like Columbus, a child of God, and maybe God will let me sail out through the universe on a 3-masted schooner with my own crew. I picture myself maybe one day being able to float down through some atmosphere to some planet nobody ever heard of. Maybe it's Z1705. Stepping out on that planet and saying, I claim this planet for my sovereign and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Planting the cross. Because Jesus paid it all. It all belongs to him. And maybe watching God fill up this planet, those planets, one after another, with people not like you and I. You and I trapped and captivated by sins and the deceit of the devil. But people that come through a cleansed... You say, do you believe? Well, I'm just dreaming. You say, well, you're wasting time. Oh, you never wait. I can daydream all I want because I got a lot of days ahead. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I know this. Every moment of every day will be a blow-your-mind experience. Next time you get real discouraged, next time the IRS says you didn't file your taxes right, you owe us money. The next time the bill collector calls and says we didn't get the check in the mail. The next time everything's going bad, can I help you with this? Don't limit your joy to this life only. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But if you'll expand your horizon and realize one of these days, the curtains are going to pull back and the glorious light of immortality will flood through. And you and I, not because we earned it, not because we deserved it, not because we're better than somebody else, but because we're the worst of the worst and the lowest of the low and the filthiest of the filthy. The only difference is one day we took hold of a hand of mercy and grace that said, I'll do for you what you could never do for yourself. And I stand today redeemed by the blood of my Savior. And I'm thankful that because he arose, my life is eternal.